Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that the scriptures tell us so much of what the Lord Jesus taught us. And we ask that as we look at his words this morning, so your Holy Spirit will guide us and enable us to hear his words speaking to us today. In his name we pray. Amen. The Samaritans. Almost everyone's heard of them and of the amazing work that they do supporting people who are tempted to take their own lives. Or you may have heard of Samaritan's Purse, an international relief and development charity. When we talk about a good Samaritan, we're describing someone who's gone out of their way to help a person in need. Whenever we use the word Samaritan, we use it in a very positive way. But that's the exact opposite of the way Jesus' listeners would have thought when he told that story about a Samaritan, which we've just heard. Because Jewish people and Samaritans were brought up to dislike each other. There was an enmity between those two communities that had been going on for centuries, ever since the kingdom of Israel had been divided into two. The northern half, Samaria, that's where the Samaritans came from. The southern half, Judea, that's where the Judeans, the Jews, came from. Think Protestants and Catholics in the old Northern Ireland. Think Sunni Muslims and Shia Muslims. Think right-wing Americans and communists. Think Arsenal supporters and Spurs supporters. Suspicion and hatred. That's the way Jews and Samaritans have been brought up to think of each other. When Jesus told this story about an injured man, we assume he was a Jewish man, lying there in the road, he told how first a priest came along and passed by on the other side without helping, and then a Levite came along and did the same. In today's parlance, how might we translate it? The story, as Chris read it, suggested it would be like a bishop and a judge. Or it might be like thinking of, let's say, the vicar came down the road, did absolutely nothing. Church warden came down the road, did absolutely nothing. And the crowds listening in, they'd have been having a good old chuckle. Oh, Jesus having a good old dig at the establishment here. And they'd have been thinking, I wonder who the third person's going to be. Who do you think? I reckon it'll be a little old lady from the 9 o'clock service. She's the one who comes along and does the right thing where the others didn't. But no, it's a Muslim fundamentalist. It's a Jew. It's a Jehovah's Witness. It's a militant atheist who comes along and offers the help that's needed. It's a Jew being helped by a Samaritan. It's a person who comes from the least trusted, least liked community. And the parable makes Jesus' listeners sit bolt upright. What on earth's going on? What's he talking about? What he's talking about is to bring a new perspective to the idea of what that word love might mean. Because this story about a Samaritan, which we of course know as the parable of the Good Samaritan, it was told by Jesus to someone who said, well, I know I should love God, and I know I should love my neighbor, but who actually counts as my neighbor? Who is it that I'm supposed to love? And Jesus' answer to this question is this parable which tells us a great deal about Christian love. And I want to pick out three things that it says. And the first is that love is practical. When Jesus has finished telling the story, he asks, now which of those three, the priest, the Levite, the Samaritan, which of them was neighbor to the injured man? And the answer, almost as if the man can't quite bring himself to utter that horrid word, Samaritan, his answer is, it was the one who had mercy on him. Now, a literal translation of what the New Testament says is, the one who did the mercy with him. And then Jesus responds, what about you? Go and do likewise. What we do is close to the heart of what it means to show love to our neighbor. Christian love is, first and foremost, practical love. The priest and the Levite, well, they probably felt quite sorry for the man lying in the road, but they didn't do anything. The Samaritan, by contrast, he took action. He used some oil and wine, the usual way in those days of treating the wound and trying to get some antiseptic in there. He bandaged him up. Then he got him to the inn, got him settled, and then paid the innkeeper enough to cover the time that he thought it was going to take him to get better. The one who did the mercy with him. Now, there will, of course, be times when we feel we can't do anything. We see someone, we feel desperately sorry for them, but we feel there's nothing we can actually do. Depending on the situation, we may be able to say an encouraging word. We may even be able to offer a hug. But we don't think there's really anything practical that we can do to address the situation. There will be situations like that, but our default position is that we want to express our love in practical ways. So love is practical. Secondly, love is indiscriminate. It didn't matter who this man lying in the road was, it didn't matter what his background was. He needed help, and so the Samaritan gave help. Never mind who it was, as the Samaritan gave help to a Jew, someone from a community he'd been brought up to hate. Never mind how foolish this man had been to get into his position of need. Everyone knew that the road from Jerusalem to Jericho was extremely dangerous. No one in their right mind would go down there alone. This man was bonkers. It was his own fault that he was in this mess. Never mind how inconvenient it was for the Samaritan to interrupt his journey. Never mind how dangerous it might be for him. The robbers who just committed that crime, they might leap out on him now and do the same to him. Never mind how much it might cost as he handed over a considerable sum to the innkeeper. And never mind that he'd be laughed at if another Samaritan came along and saw him helping a Jew. Many, many, many years ago, when I was an ordinand, training to be ordained, training before I first became a curate, our diocesan director of ordinands moved on and was replaced by a new diocesan director of ordinands who was in charge of us. This was in St. Albans Diocese, and the diocesan director of ordinands, when he arrived, he was to be made a canon of St. Albans Cathedral. And so it was planned that at evensong one evening, he would be installed as a canon. And he was walking through the streets from his home in St. Albans to the cathedral for this slightly grand occasion, when he came across a big hubbub in the street. He paused to see what was happening, and it turned out that there was someone there ranting a bit and threatening to take his own life. And so the diocesan director of ordinance, his name was Michael, he stopped. He went over to the person and started talking to them, trying to comfort them, trying to just calm the situation. And over quite a lengthy period of talking to him, things settled down. Only one problem. Too late for evensong, too late for the service at which he was to be installed as canon. So it was hugely inconvenient to him. He'd messed this thing up. Don't know what happened in the cathedral. I dare say they'd got a printed order of service with all the words for installing a canon. No one to install. What do we do now? But here was someone acting as the parable of the Good Samaritan encourages us to do. Not like the priest or the Levite, who are probably on their way to the temple to fulfill religious duties. They couldn't stop. They'd got to get to the temple. But no matter the inconvenience, Michael stopped and did whatever he could to show love to this person in need, this person who was now his neighbor. So love is indiscriminate. No matter who the person is, no matter whose fault it is, no matter how inconvenient it is, no matter what it's going to cost us in terms of time or energy or money, where there's a need, love steps in and does what it can to help. Here at St. Mary's, we say, whoever you are, wherever you come from, you're welcome here. The parable of the Good Samaritan challenges us to add, whoever you are, wherever you come from, we'll offer you practical Christian love to the very best of our ability, be that through an existing church-organized group, or be it through the care of individual Christians. So love is practical, love is indiscriminate, and then a third thing, love is Christ-like. As he tells this story, Jesus says that when the Samaritan saw the injured man, he took pity on him. And that word pity, or compassion, translates a Greek word which derives from the word for the innards, the guts. In other words, this isn't about a nice, refined sentiment, but about a deep feeling inside. His heart went out to him, is another way it might be translated. He had a gut feeling of sorrow for the man. He was moved to the depths of his being. In another of the best-known parables, the parable of the prodigal son, when the father saw his son in the distance making his way home, it's the same word. The father's heart went out to him and he ran out to meet him and welcome him home. And that same rather earthy word, that gutsy word, it's often used of Jesus too. When he met a man with leprosy, when he met a blind man begging for help, when he met an old lady grieving because her son had died, when he saw a crowd of people who were feeling lost and bewildered. In each case, Jesus had that deep, deep feeling of sorrow for them, with a feeling that came from deep within. And in each case, that deep feeling led to him taking action. And that love of Jesus, that too was indiscriminate. As he reached out and touched a leper, someone no one else would even go near. As he got into conversation with tax collectors, people that no one else would even talk to. And as he chose to die for us, not because we were especially lovable, but quite the opposite, while we were still sinners. The love, the compassion which Jesus showed was indiscriminate love, love without restrictions. So this love for our neighbor, this mercy, this heartfelt compassion, this love portrayed for us in the parable of the Good Samaritan, this love is a Christ-like quality. And when we pray that as followers of Jesus, we'll be growing daily more like him, we pray that this sort of love will be one thing that's growing in us. That when we see someone in need, we won't be hard-hearted like that priest or the Samaritan who managed just to walk on by. But that when we see a person's need, we'll feel for them as Jesus felt, and we'll act as Jesus acted. We pray that with the help of God's Holy Spirit living in us and working in us, Christ-like love, Christ-like compassion will be growing in us. So love your neighbor as yourself. Remember the question that Jesus was asked, who is my neighbor? Who is it that I'm supposed to love? And the answer from Jesus in that parable of the Good Samaritan, anyone who needs your help is your neighbor. But love your neighbor as yourself is, as Jesus' questioner had said, the second of two great commandments. The first one is, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Love God with all of you. And those two commands, love God and love your neighbor, they go hand in hand. Our love of God includes our gratitude to him, because although our focus this morning is about us giving love, we must remember too that also that all of us have received love, huge amounts of love. So our love of God is at least partly a response of gratitude for all the love that we've received from him, the love which we've received day by day in countless daily blessings. We all know it's a good idea at the end of the day to look back, think, what's happened to me today? And as we reflect on all the things that have been good, we can count any number of ways in which God's blessed us. So we thank him for the love that we've received in those blessings, for the love we've received to him as he's worked through the kindness of others to bring us help when we've needed it, for the love we've received through the Lord Jesus Christ and his limitless love shown to us on the cross, bringing us salvation. In response to all that love received, give love. Love God, love your neighbor. Love them with a love which is practical, which is indiscriminate, and which is Christ-like. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your perfect love for us. We thank you for the way that love of yours is shown so clearly in Jesus, in all that he did and all that he taught us. And we ask, Heavenly Father, that your Holy Spirit will so work in us day by day, that that love which Jesus showed may grow in us, and that we may truly show love to our neighbor. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.